Welcome to Mastering Life's Adventures, an educational podcast about tapping into your true self, the soul, your soul, the substance of your life, to discover what life's ups and downs are really about, and how to have a greater sense of purpose, peace, joy, and fulfillment. I am Dr. Judith Holder, your host, coach, psychologist, fellow seeker who enjoys diving into the connections between spirituality, psychology, wellness, and your everyday life's adventures. All preparing and polishing you like the facets of a magnificent diamond to be your best self. If you're craving more from your life, you are in the right place. Come, let's journey together and transforming what you know into who you really are. Mastering Life's Adventures begins now.
Hi, I'm back to talk about this next simple key related to failure. More specifically, how can you be okay with failing? Somehow, we have this notion that we should do everything perfect all the time. And if we're doing it perfect, then we won't have to feel pain, right? Well, there is actually some value in going through some painful experiences because they do fine-tune us to what we like and what we don't like and what we'll say, I'll never do that again. So with that, let me just ask you, why do we get so upset with failure? We, in fact, can get bent out of shape when we fail. It can cause us to be angry and upset, and disappointment and depressed when we fail. And I understand we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to feel pain. We don't want to feel disappointment or discomfort or angst. Maybe there's some value from a soul perspective, our failures that we will have, and we will all have them. It's not a matter of if you're going to have them. It's just a matter of when it's going to come up and you'll have to deal with some type of failure personally, professionally, in your relationships. It can come in many different guises and disguises of how failure shows up in our world. But I think sometimes we look at failure from the standpoint of the human perspective and not the divine perspective, and what the lessons are to be learned and how we can be able to grow, and how these failures that happen to us in many different ways, in terms of we can flunk our test when we're taking a driver's test, or it can be academically when we're doing something we didn't pass, or it can be when we're in a relationship and a person decides they don't no longer want to date you. Or it could be at work when you thought that you were doing pretty well in that public speaking engagement you did, but you're getting really negative feedback. And all this is creating that sense of maybe failure for you. But if we didn't have those failures that happened to us, how could we grow? And would we grow at a quicker rate if we didn't have the failure? I'm not quite sure, because in a psychological way, we can get into comfort zones and being comfortable with just the way we are, and not looking at ways that we may need to expand or grow or allow our souls to be able to expand and grow. So failure actually helps us to be able to take a second look at what we're doing and how we're doing it. And an opportunity is what I want you to begin thinking of failure. It's really an opportunity to stretch yourself. Yes, you're going to get a skin knee, and the skin knee is going to hurt. Yes, it's not going to be something that you're going to want to do again. And that's why failure becomes so important, because the discomfort or the pain that we experience to that particular failure that happened to us, we're saying, no, I'm not going to get that again, but I'm going to learn from this. And that's what I think failure is trying to do, is stretch us, help us to be kind of motivated to say, I'm not doing that again. It's like the child who the parent says, don't put your hand on that stove, it's hot. And the child puts her hand on the stove anyway and gets scorched. Well, that child's not going to do that again. Failure is not necessarily this opposite of success. Is a part of the process of success. So let me say that again. We sometimes think of failure and we think of success, and we think of that dichotomously. What we need to look at it more in a more continuous way to know that failure is not the opposite of success, but it's a part of the success that we move through. It's a part of the success that our soul wants us to evolve and continue to grow and learn from the painful experiences and learn from feeling out of sorts and upset about what has happened and not achieving our particular goal. And ultimately, what it's doing is helping to shape the soul and shape how you approach a situation to be more resilient and knowing that you do have the wherewithal to manage that particular situation. Or if you need support or if you need help from other individuals or professional help, and either from a coach or a psychologist or a family physician or whoever to help you, that's all a part of the growing process. That's all the part of the learning process that we want to be able to go through. Because somehow we think that when we have failure, we can't bounce back. We can't rebuild, or we can't find ways to help to solidify our inner self and beliefs that we do have and build that level of resilience. But we can build the level of resilience. And in some ways, failure helps us to toughen up a little bit inside, not get callous, but just toughen up to know this is kind of what happened. And this is what I need to move forward with. This is what I've learned from the experience. It actually makes us stronger than what we think we can become or we are. It does allow us and allows the soul to know that with adversity, there is light, there is help, that others around us can help us. And failure builds this perseverance that we're going to keep focused on our goals, or we're going to keep focused on God to help us through the situations that we're going through. We have to retool our viewpoints and our thinking about failure and look at it maybe as more of a doorway. We're figuring out like a key that we're trying to put in the right door to open that door and to move to the next level in our thinking and our feelings and in our being. The one of the pathways that they can put us on is perseverance. And that's similar to determination. You know, have you ever had an experience in which you didn't do well on something and you said, next time, I'm going to do better. Next time, I'm going to know that. Next time, I'm going to make sure I study more. Or next time, I'm going to make sure I do a more thorough job and be able to meet the requests of what the person was asking of me. It moves us into having a can-do attitude. In that can-do attitude, we are realizing that we can do and be and act what it takes to take ourselves on a different path, to pivot. If we need to pivot or look at things from a different perspective or from a different lens. A part of life and the living of life and the soul is so much wanting is not to look at failure as a point in which it shuts you down. It stops you, makes you afraid. You don't want to try new things. You want to have things just remain the same way as they are. And that only gets you but so far. It only creates more of a barrier in some ways to you fulfilling your soul purpose. Because sometimes those failures that we went through help to craft your character and craft a greater discernment into how you want to be and with your gifts, your talents, and how you want to show them in the world. So really, failure taps into the soul quest for creativity, innovation, ingenuity. It pulls something more from us when we have experienced these degrees of failure, you know, from mild pain to severe pain and having to adjust to life experiences that gave us a curveball. And now we have to deal with a particular loss, and it could be a physical loss, it could be emotional or mental loss that has taken place. It does make us now have to think about, is there another way of doing something with this particular loss that has happened to me? Is there another way of looking at this? Or how can I master it a little bit more? It's like when you're coming back from a battle And in that battle, you sustained a wound. And now that wound may be related to a loss of a limb, or it may be of sight, or it may be of having pain in a particular part of your body. And are you going to feel as if I'm a failure because this stuff has happened to me? Or are you going to tap into your soul's awareness that even in these types of situations, I can grow, I can learn, I can be the best person, I can learn how to be the best person I need to be. And you pulled now on some other talents and other gems of gifts that were deep within you that you didn't even know that was there. And that's the beauty of failure. And I don't want any hardship or difficulties to happen to anyone, but they do happen. And it's the direction of our thinking and feeling that either gets us more confined to feeling like a quote-unquote failure, or move us out of that altogether by asking our soul, what is it that I'm supposed to gain from this experience? Asking the higher self, your Christ, the God, the Creator, the Atman, guide me, help to put into my life people that can help me to understand this better if I can't quite grasp why this is happening at this point in time for me. In some ways, it sounds very odd, but it can push us to stay connected and focused and open to the lessons that need to be learned. When we have a failure and then we're asking and we're prayerful and we're asking for guidance and we're seeking assistance to help us anchor into something greater than ourselves, then that failure is a different path. It's not a path of failure. It is a path of moving towards something greater than yourself, the spiritual path, the soul, the substance of your life that is looking for something more. And it's just not related to physically how you are, but it's related to how connected you are, connected to your true source, connected to something that is higher and more powerful than yourself, that God uses everyone if everyone wishes to be an instrument for God's grace and God's peace and God's creativity. We have to reconfigure or rethink about failure, pain, and spiritual growth. They all are mixed together and they're not separate. It's not either the trees and the forest. Do you see the trees or do you see the forest? But in the bigger scheme of things, can I see both? Can I see me and what the opportunities or the testings that are being given to me? And can I see the forest, which is the bigger picture of God's design for my life? And am I meditating or reflecting or asking for God to show his divine purpose in my life? Because there's a law of the universe, and that law is the call compels the answer. But it's not such a thing that you kind of say, well, I just called and no one answered. It's more of the consistent call, the consistent urge of desire in the heart, a wanting more understanding. Wanting to be able to see things from a different perspective. Is that level that you are really working towards? Because that's what God feels then. He feels that level of desire, and he feels that level of moving and trying to transmute the fear and the doubt that has occurred with the failure into grace, into love. How do we, in the midst of this situation, learn to love? Love this situation. Love something about this situation. Laugh about this. Have some humor with oneself in the situations that you find yourself in. And I realize some situations can be pretty horrific and challenging at times. And we need support and we need guidance and we need help, as I said earlier, from a coach or a psychologist or medical doctor to help us to heal at certain levels within our beings. But we're also striving at the soul level to garner a greater grace and a greater love and appreciation for yourself and for those that are around you. So it's really kind of an interesting flow that has to happen because I think we're on planet Earth to learn certain lessons and experiences, and they come in different shapes and forms and people and situations that we will find ourselves in to learn those lessons. And you've heard me talk about this before, that we need to look at, are there themes to what's going on for us? Are there pain themes that happen with this particular type of person in this particular type of relationship that I've had for the past, 20 years? This is usually what the result is, and it creates for me. But have we taken a step back? First of all, it's good to know that that's the theme. And then you ask for the greater illumination from your God, Christ, Jesus, the Atman, the I Am Presence, to help give you a greater awareness of what the experience is trying to teach you. And it can be simple one as, just because a person compliments you, it doesn't mean that you have to engage in a relationship with them, because they may be a shyster. They may be a person who compliments everybody. And that's how they get into your good graces. And you have to be the person to develop that discernment and just say, let me just work on me and work on my sense of completeness and wholeness in God who I trust and be directed by, and start to observe that when we begin to work on pieces of ourselves and heal those things within us that we feel that may be holes in the fabric of who we are, and we start stitching those holes up, then we also change our vibration, and we can attract a different type of person, as we're talking about this, for example, relationships. At a fundamental level, each pain experience is teaching us something in terms of patience. With that exam that didn't go very well because maybe we didn't put in enough time of studying, it's teaching us something about a life lesson that happened to us. And we have to be the ones to look at what is being taught to us. When we are able to do that, then that becomes the golden energy for our soul. It's G-O-L-D, gold, golden, G-O-L-D-E-N, the golden nuggets for our soul. That our soul begins to be able to flourish because we're willing to learn and not create a distraction or create a decoy or try to do things that are going to reduce our pain. I'm not saying you need to waddle in pain, but I'm saying you need to be aware of the pain that's going on and not try to be so quick to get it out of the way or not to be able to look at it. One of the things that I want you to think about when you think about a situation that has been painful for you, what is the first thing you usually do? What is the second thing that you usually do? What do you notice that happens in your behaviors when you're experiencing some type of failure? It could be mild, or it could be moderate, or it can be severe types of failures that really put you back in many regards. But I'm asking this question is because we have to get awareness of what are those things that we tend to automatically do. Because if we're not aware of them, then we continue to do the same behavior that may not be in the service of our soul and our soul growth and our soul evolution. So, for example, Mary or Jane or Harry or Peter, whoever, there can be gender differences too in what we tend to do, but there's generally things that we do when we're experiencing failure. We are usually shocked, annoyed, or frustrated by the situation, or we may feel angry and hurt and disappointment by the situation that we're dealing with or the person in which we're interacting with. We may find that we automatically start to blame the other person or blame ourselves about the situation. So there are things that we do, and each person has to think about it, about what they tend to do and objectively look at it. So they can be able to say, is this creating more static for my soul and less attunement with my higher nature, my true self, the Atman, which means true self, the true self, the creator, the God, the Christ, that I'm trying to emulate and be more of. When we can take that stop, or as a family member would say, press the pause button, and looked at what's going on for yourself when you're experiencing some type of failure and the emotional reactions that is increasingly happening for you, then once we know that and what those behaviors are, the first, the second, or third behaviors, then we can say, oh, I see. This is what I tend to do, but is this what I really want to do in the service of my soul and my soul's growth and movement forward in this situation? There are many people have experienced failures in their life. Think of some of the great people like Thomas Edison. Did he stop? He probably wasn't pleased with the zillions of failures he had, but he did learn from each experience. And that's the key. What can we learn from the experience? How can we move about doing things differently from the experience? As opposed to in the 21st century, when we experience some painful experiences because of failure, we may get on the social media and scroll the social media as a form of distraction. Or we may call up a friend and, you know, just, you know, try to help confirm our pain and our hurt and our disappointment. Or we may engage in feeling more sullen, disappointment, depressed, anxious. And so we go to sleep, you know, and so we try to work that off that way through sleep. And there is a good reset that happens with sleep, certainly. But you're using these outer things and you're not calling upon the greater thing. And that greater thing is really God to guide you, to help you, to move you through the situation that you're experiencing. And I think about the three G's that we're trying to do with our soul, and that is growth, guidance, and God attunement. So we're always trying to look at things through different lenses that are spiritually based lenses that allows us, our soul, to continue to evolve and grow. And also understand that there is a process that we can go through to help ourselves when we're dealing with disappointment or hurt. For example, the first thing you can do, you probably have other things you can do, and you can certainly share those things with us, is to acknowledge and embrace how you're feeling. Not acknowledge and embrace that I'm not feeling great about this. I'm not, you know, I'm feeling sad, depressed, angry, mad, but you just don't stay there. You acknowledge it, so that you can be able to say, okay, now what I want to do with it. And then in your own time and space, you want to make sure you're not doing with it to make a decoy, as I mentioned earlier, or a distraction, and move into trying to do other things to occupy that space and try to throw out that feeling. But no, instead, what you're trying to do is now examine your beliefs about the situation, any assumptions you are making about the situation, that you're trying to face, any fears that you may have had that also contributed to the failure of the situation. Because sometimes when we have certain fears or anxieties, we don't realize we can actually set it up for failure ourselves unintentionally. We do want to look at those types of things because it is really helpful to take that step and look forward as we're looking back to saying, okay, I can see how that belief hindered me. Or I can see how I did set myself up because I wasn't very clear for things not to go very well. And then once you have that change in belief and awareness about assumptions that you may have made and that you need not to make moving forward into the future, then you can move into saying, okay, what do I want to do now? How do I want to be different now? What can I learn from the experience, you know, and take those steps and move forward with your soul in mind? Because you're asking those questions from a spiritual lens. You're asking those questions from a biblical lens. You're asking those questions from an inspirational lens that helps your soul to continue to move on its path that allows it to be successful. And remember what I said before, that failure is not the opposite of success. It is part of the process towards and on the journey of your success. I want you to think about those things. There's so much usefulness in the failure, which is also the pain that we may experience. It's a learning opportunity. It allows us to improve something in our beliefs or in our thinking or reactions to things. It allows us to look at new information or gain new information from the experience that we're going through. It may help us to understand and crystallize our values and what's most important to us and our soul growth and our soul progress that we're trying to make. It can help us to even put closure maybe to things that we need to put closure to that have been open too long in our lives that we ever fell into continuously. And we say, I don't need to keep on hitting this pothole here. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to travel down a different road now. And most importantly, what failure does, it pushes us to dig deeper around what's really important to you. And what is it that you're really trying to achieve? It's teaching us so many different things. If we're open to seeing it, it's helping us to be more discerning and discriminating around so many different aspects in our lives in which we may have experienced that failure around. It could be at work. It could be at home. And it could be on a personal level. But whatever that is, personally or professionally, it's helping us to refine who we really, truly are and want to be if we have the soul in mind as we're moving forward to shift our thoughts, shift our feelings, shift our beliefs, shifts maybe sometimes family beliefs and patterns that no longer serve us, that are no longer accurate or in our best interest. Something to think about. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining me for this episode on Mastering Life's Adventures, being your best self through soul evolution. If you have enjoyed what you've heard today, I would be delighted if you would share this episode with others, leave a thumbs up, and subscribe to my Mastering Life's Adventures podcast. Look forward to your joining the next episode. Please leave any comments or suggestions you might have below. Bye for now.